Whoa.
Does it work?
Yeah.
It's a bit.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me, Jambro. Okay, so.
Put it a little bit closer to your mouth. Does
okay.
It work?
Yeah. I'm only for that. Okay. Thank you for inviting me, Jambro. It's an honor. You know, on page 20 of our service manual, I don't see it there. If I see it, I'll show it to you. It tells us in the four primary ideas, it tells us that Al-Anon's gift. We keep Al-Anon's gift by sharing Al-Anon's gift. So this is my answer. You know, the way I answer that gift is by sharing my experience, strength, and hope. I think it deserves that and gratitude. So today's topic, as they tell me, is focusing on the now. You know, and that doesn't mean I'm the expert. You know, you've probably heard, what time is it? What's the answer? Now. Where am I? Here. Therefore, be here now. Right? Easy to say. Okay? Easy to say. Okay, they also told me that if I have one foot in the past and the other foot in the present, what might I be doing with the other foot in the future? What might I be doing to the present? Well, I'm asking you. You don't know? Can you picture it? Okay, you don't want to say it. You're very polite. Okay, so some of the things, you know, we've heard, at least I've heard in Al-Anon, is like no amount of regret can change the past. No amount of worry or fear can change the future. But any amount of gratitude, even a little amount of gratitude, can change the present moment. Okay? So like I said, I'm encouraged to change, by the way. Follow the literature. Okay, courage to change is 260. If I can find it. It tells us the present. Is this English or French? Okay, English, okay. It tells us the present, like any other present or moment, if you will, okay, can be very favorable if only we know what to do with it. If only we know what to do with it. Okay, so like I said, I'm not a poster child for Al-Anon at all. And the present moment is not my predominant state. Let's just get it out there. Okay? But if I have to be honest, and some of you know I've been in Al-Anon for long, if I have to be honest, I have a noisy mind. Okay? It carries on the monologues, the dialogues, sometimes trialogues. You know, I think in Al-Anon sometimes we say, oh, I have a committee or whatever in my head. Or some people say, I have a conference running in my head. Okay, so that's that kind of what I mean by that. You know, and as a matter of fact, the way I say it when I share, when I speak at different meetings, is I say, I used to live at the intersection of Worry Street, Fear Lane, if you can picture that, Regret Avenue, and Resentment Boulevard. Okay, that's it. Always I was afraid that the next, you know, that other shoe might fall. And worrying, how do I get it? You know how you say in Al-Anon, figure it out or something like that is not a slogan. But my mind was like, let's hurry up, figure it out. Figure out how you're going to do it to fix it, you know? And always feeling guilty and entombed about the things I did in the past. The shame, you know? Always, all that, and also I used to hold what we call self-righteous anger against the alcoholic. All the things he did was always he. So in other words, living in the past, living in the future is what it is. Okay, let me quote another thing. I like Al-Anon literature, as you will know. That's what helped me. So page 150, what does it say? Page 150, regret, shame, and resentment put me in the past. It also says fear and worry put me in the future. You know what shame and guilt say? It says all the things you did in the past are unforgivable. You know, and all the things you did or that were done to you, you shouldn't ever forgive. They are unforgivable. Those are the things that go through my mind. Resentment is what says that also. Okay, so in Al-Anon rooms, I've heard some other truisms that I have written here, you know. For example, it tells us that our past is not a mistake. You know, I don't know if you've heard that acronym, ASGO. So, you know, whatever happened in the past, another, I'm going to be polite, but usually some people say AFGO, but I'll just say ASGO, another spiritual growth opportunity. Let's put it that way. Okay? That nothing happens in God's world by mistake. So I'm learning to forgive myself, to look at my past with some compassion. You know? And there's this, when it comes to fear, there's this lady I like to quote. It's not Al-Anon conference approved person, but her name is Corrie Ten Boom. She says, never be afraid to trust your unknown future to a known God. Okay? And well, for me, having survived, as I will tell you, having survived by, you know, with my, what I would call my therapies, my survival skills, ineffective as they might have been, you know, those things don't come naturally for me. You know, where I'm in this one, it's, where does it say that? I wrote that down. I'm sorry about that. Okay. No, from survival to recovery tells us that sooner or later, if we work this program, fear would be replaced with faith. And gratitude will come naturally. Well, that's naturally. For me, having lived, survived with my survival skills, as I will tell you later, doesn't come naturally at all. Doesn't come naturally still. But slowly, and you know, my experience is that it requires a whole lot of faith and trust in God for that to happen. And slowly but surely, I'm getting there, but I'm not quite there. You know, a few days ago, I was going to my Nigerian, I'm Nigerian, by the way, I'm American, but also Nigerian, I'm a Nigerian. So I went to the embassy to get, try and get, renew my passport. So I was like, on the way, the anxiety, you know those people, they are so disorganized. That third world country, that was just all that, like I said, noise in mind. Had all that, oh my God. So I took food for the whole day. Just sure that I'm going to stay there and that I'm going to need this and, you know, all that kind of 2 coins so I could go across the street and make up, is even though online had told me everything I needed, but that was just there in my mind. Then I remembered, oh man, you're going to grind now, is that how you say it, to tell them how you stay in the moment. Okay, so you better, you know, so do that. Okay, so I try, I came back. So, but I don't always come back, you know, to the moment, like I said, you know. But, what was I going to say? I forgot. You know, there's this, I don't know if you've read about it, there's a legend, it's a legendary island where these people, the inhabitants, what they do, they train their parrots. Anybody heard about that? They train their parrots to repeat, attention. You know, what does it say? Attention, here and now. Attention, here and now. These parrots are perched on trees all over the island. And this is their way to remind themselves to be focused on today. Well, I don't have that. I don't live there. Okay? But I'm getting there. I have Allen on. I have the tools, by the way. Every step of the way, from the moment you're a newcomer, if you read the newcomer package, they're telling, that's what they're really saying. They're not saying, well, that's everything they're saying. It's like, how to live in the moment, not to be disturbed by external stimulus and things like that, you know? So, but before I tell you how, you know, the tools and how I got there, you know, staying in the moment, because I do stay in the moment for the most part, but it's not 24/7. I have slips. So before I do that, I noticed many of you don't know me, haven't heard my story, so I probably, even though I didn't plan to, but I will probably, I'll just tell you a little, give you the backstory, so you know how I got where I am. So when I say I'm doing this thing, so you know, it didn't happen overnight or things like that. Okay, so a little backstory. In 1987, I was a young PhD student of economics in Los Angeles at USC. And I had a babysitter, and I was married to a heavy drinker. I had a babysitter who told me, you always look anxious, always afraid. And probably that's why your breast milk wasn't flowing. I said, oh no, you know, my schoolwork is whatever, denial, right? We call it, denial is also not living in the present. Remember that. But she kind of insisted. And I perceived it as an ultimatum. If you don't go to Al-Anon, you know, she's going to go to Al-Anon. You know, perceived it as a threat and an ultimatum. If you know, so I went. She gave me an address, so I went, but I didn't stay. But I had heard something there. I heard what they say, 4 G's, by the way. Now it's 5 G's. They said, get off his back, get out of his way, get on with your life. And somebody from the back said, and if you don't have a life, get one. That's what she said, okay? So it's 4 G's, but today, in our latest book, it's 5 G's, but I don't want to get into that. So, and I didn't return, needless to say, but I also heard something about don't try to prevent a crisis if it's in the natural course of events. So, obviously, it was detachment was their topic, but I left. But it, you know, was here. So, I didn't return, like I said. So in 1989, when the next alcoholic episode happened, I knew well enough, if I was talking in America, I would say a kind of Rodney King show episode, you know, unfolding in my, I don't know how many of you know Rodney King, but okay, that's what it is, you know, in my living room. So I remembered, mind your own business. I see a kid here, so I'm not gonna use my normal word, how I say it, but anyway. So I remember that, hands off and all that. My ex-husband, he's not ex, he did what? He went to jail, almost lost his plum job in the aerospace industry, and found AA. Has been going there, sober, great dad, and all that. For that. But that's where my problem started, in my opinion. See, when he was drinking, I had my survival skills, I call them therapies, but anyway. One is mommy therapy. I was like, okay, let's have another baby. Why not? Against his wishes. Anyway, teach him a lesson. He didn't really want a kid. Never wanted one. He ended up with 3. Okay? When that didn't work, I had my retail therapy. Cruising the malls of America, buying things I didn't need or want. With the money, I don't know how, I don't even have it, let's put it that way. Some stolen from the alcohol because it was half the time, whatever. You know, and then buy those things that I didn't really need. And then I'll come home and I shove them in the garage and go back and do them the next usually on Saturdays, because the drinking was really bad in the, during the, on Fridays usually, okay? So when that didn't do anything for me, and I was watching my classmates become, graduate and become econ professors and Wall Street economists. So I was entombed in shame. So what did I do anyway? So because I had this mental block, I didn't know what was going on. So now that he was sober, the violence escalated, and so I had this mental paralysis. I decided, okay, another therapy, sex therapy. Let's go find a man. Maybe having sex with another man might unblock me so I can finish my dissertation. Didn't work. Who knew? So, by the grace of God, you guys call it, I call it the grace of God, divine grace. I went to a savvy therapist because I had run out of whatever. So I went to a savvy therapist who told me, she asked me first, describe your home life in just one word. And I said, stormy. And then the dam broke and crying for what seemed like 15 minutes, but I think it's 5 minutes, I don't remember, okay? And when I was done, she told me, did you know that living with an alcoholic can make you neurotic? Diseased mind. Go to Al-Anon. And I wanted to say, I've been there. So just go with an open mind. Go to Al-Anon. They will teach you how to adjust yourself to a certain degree and clear your mind. And she goes, and if you go 6 times, if you still need me, come back, I'll teach you how to finish your dissertation. That's the only reason I went to Al-Anon. that was it. It wasn't the alcohol. I didn't know what to think, but that's the reason I went to Al-Anon. So anyway, so I went. And that was February 11, 1991. And I've been going ever since. I never went back to the therapist, except 20 years later, when I was leaving California to move to the East Coast, I went to thank her. To thank her, I could cry about that, but I won't, okay? Anyway, so I walked in there, to this room, the rooms, and with a pen and paper, the dutiful scholar that I am, pen and paper, ready to take notes and then to prove to the therapist that, you see, it didn't work, they're talking whatever. So, first thing I heard, because I had a pen and paper, and still to tomorrow, anytime I go into an Al-Anon room, I take pen and paper, because you never know what you'll hear there. So what I heard was, what did they say there even? They said, Al-Anon will not give you the keys to heaven to let yourself in, but it's going to give you the keys out of hell, to hell, to let yourself out. And one of those tools, the keys, was detachment. So the second time around, detachment again, right? Hello. So it will give that key. And I'm like, and then I heard other things I'm not going to get into. Never miss an opportunity to keep your mouth shut, drop the rope, release the rope or something like that. Otherwise, you'll be dragged like a wild river or something. If it doesn't have your name on it, don't pick it up. Okay, let's write it down. Okay, so, they gave me also page 7 of ODAT, where we call it the pause page, page 7, January 7, if you will, where it tells you, list said, sinners mended, things like that. Just because they did that doesn't mean you have to do that. Shut the hell up. Why do you bring your kid? I want to really be myself and talk and use my word, but anyway, that's okay. Okay, so, it's like, shut it. The acronym is STFU. You figure it out. If you don't know, ask me later. I'll tell you, because we have a child here. Okay. So in other words, these are tools to stay in the moment, basically, but they're not going to tell you that. You have to figure some things. They make you work in Al-Anon anyway. I also heard 7 things a newcomer should do. Go to meetings often, find a sponsor. Who has a sponsor? Start working the steps. Get a phone list so you can, in between meetings, reason things out with someone else. don't stay there, noisy mind, and stuff like that, you know. You know, get a home group, get a service position down the line if you have, you know, when you know what we are talking about, become a sponsor, sponsor somebody, things like that. Okay, so, okay. So anyway, I attended several meetings, found a sponsor immediately because I was desperate. So now I'm going to introduce you to what they, what I call God's therapy. I told you all those other therapies, ineffective. Now they're going to teach me. So this sponsor is the one who explained to me what stinking thinking meant. And she told me that thinking is a disease in and of its own. He drinks, you think going to have another baby will make you whatever, and you do it. He drinks, you do what? You go to the malls. He drinks, you go look for a boyfriend outside your marriage. Okay? So they started thinking, trying to use distorted thinking to solve a problem. It's not going to work. So anyway, after hearing my story, you know, my compulsive mind and things like that, my ineffective therapies, shall we say, she started me off on step 11. If you look at your ODAT, page 291, it tells you, you know, some people say, oh, these steps are in order for a reason, you must. There's no must in Al-Anon, by the way. Okay, it's on page 291 of ODAT, it tells you step 11 is one step you can work out of order. Peter, you can pray anytime, you can sit down and meditate. You don't have to work step 1, 2, 3 before you pray. Okay, so she started me off on that, and her focus was what? Meditation as a tool for staying in the now. Although she didn't say it that way. It's that, you know, to improve my conscious contact with God. She told me what I was looking for in those at those malls, you're never going to find them. You can buy the whole mall even. You're looking for something that's deep inside a hole. And no amount, you know, the materiality, disillusion me from materiality. Thinking external thing can solve something like that. It's never going to happen. So she told me about sitting, just sitting. Doesn't matter the posture, you know, it doesn't matter the position, it doesn't matter any of those things. Just sit in the silence. Silence is the language of God. That's where God talks to you. When next you want to rush to the mall, sit. Okay, so that's how that is, you know, to curb all that compulsive emotions and compulsive shopping and, this, you know, consumerism, things like that. Okay, so now I have a tool to replace the shopping and all the other things. God's therapy to replace that. On Path to Recovery page 112, even in this one. Sorry, I hope you don't mind with... I love the literature. 338 or 311 or something like that. It tells you, okay, different types of 338. Should have written it here, but I didn't. It tells you different types of ways to meditate. So my way is not necessarily the best way. It's 338, okay? So if you want to look at that, I go to a quiet place, close my eyes, and repeat the word, da-da-da-da-da-da, different ways to do that. Is what it is. I'm just telling you that. So initially when I started meditating, my mind would just go somewhere like Nigeria, thinking about things like that, okay? Or think about other things, you know, stuff like that. But then down the line, it became good. So I wasn't a shopaholic, don't get me wrong, you know, so I wasn't I don't need to go to whatever else. I was just reacting to something that was happening. And once I was given a different tool, I started using that. Anyway, plus the alcoholic got sober, so I wasn't able to steal his money anymore. He was balancing his books. He knew where the money was going, so I couldn't anyway. So I don't want to rhapsodize meditation, but that's my thing for staying in the moment. Okay, that's just my thing for staying in the moment. So I do that. Okay, and what I say like this. It's become my way, you know, every day. I'll tell you how my daily practice, if we have time, if we don't, that's okay. But it's just what I do, okay? That's where I get my insights, you know, I'm an artist also. So sometimes I want to know the first paragraph of something. I don't know the first word. I just go, sit. Just sit. The position, the water. I can lie down in the dark or whatever, but just quiet. And then sooner or later, I get the answers. So that's my thing. So in my catalog of meditation practices, there's just one that stands out the brightest. Okay, you see my son, which I don't like to... Okay, so this is where I have to be careful what we say here. Okay, so you see, my son was a chronic alcoholic as well as a depressive. He struggled to get sober, and he didn't succeed. Okay, so on July 2, 2016, I got the call. If you know what I mean. And so my sponsor said to me, you're going to need the power of radical grace to get through this one. That's what she said. Okay? So pray that God would show you why this tragedy is necessary. I'm like, F that. Tragedy necessary? I didn't pray. What did I do instead? I spent blank, dark days with bitterness against and angry at God. Period. You guys told me in Al-Anon that this God looks out for me, wants the best for me. How can the death of a child be the best for me? So I sat there and... Anyway, I don't want to get deep into all that. So, you know, if you work this program the way some of us do work it, we have alapas and things like that. So here I was in my Paris apartment, and one of my alapas from California grabbed her AA husband, got on the plane, and came to make sure May is going to get out of that her darkness. She was one of the girls that my sponsor sponsored, so she was my sister's sponsor. So I reluctantly got out and went to cafe with them, and we talked and all that. So I got into my healing section, part of the stuff. Anyway, I won't get into that. So let me go back to... So anyway, here I was meditating, a deep meditation. I mean deep meditation. I'm just sad, very sad about my son's death. It was sudden, unplanned. He was supposed to come to Paris 2 days before. I had 2 AA people waiting in the wings for him to get him sober. Then I got the call, he died. So I was meditating, and I became aware of a silent but powerful presence. And I began to think about sometimes, you know, that some things happened, you know, in my life. I could have been in jail, but I wasn't. I was doing something illegal without knowing. I'll name it. I had an underage girl sent from Nigeria to be my babysitter, because I was doing my PhD and all that. To send my parents, send her. I didn't know it was called modern day slavery. This girl was just doing things for me, but suddenly she wants to go home. Remember, she's underage. It's illegal in America. I didn't know. Then she wanted to go home, she wanted to go home. I was so mad. Why couldn't she just wait so I finished this PhD and da-da-da? I was so mad. And so she ran to the neighbor, and thank God she ran to a rabbi neighbor who came and said, "May let her go. Otherwise, you know, kind of thing." So sent her back, only to find out that people have gone to jail for this kind of thing. Right? But I did it, and I was mad. So I started thinking, a new realization kind of hit me. So if that was possible, perhaps this time my son dying was also part of it. Who knows? So it's like, consider this. Perhaps God in his, you know, God can see the upper side. I can't. In his infinite wisdom, had chosen to end my son's struggle and his suffering. But more important to also for me, because if you go to parent Al-Anon meetings like I do, you hear stories. The death of a child from alcoholism is not the worst thing, really, that can happen to you. Believe it or not, just try to go to these meetings, parent-focused Al-Anon meetings, they are on Zoom. You hear about IOPs, about this and that, rehabs in and out, drunk driving, killing somebody, this and that, and parents weeping. And things like that. Not that I wish anybody's son to. Okay, so maybe God has spared me another roller coaster ride that I had with his dad for years dealing with that. Remember, his alcohol was alcoholic, violent, and all that kind of stuff. So was I being spared a second round of roller coaster ride? You know, my worst fear, by the way, is not a child dying, was my son ending up in jail for killing somebody or something and me having, you know, but who knows. So for the first time, I found peace, okay, about my son's death. And I usually say, remember my sponsor said you will need the power of radical grace to get through this one. To me, that meditation session was where I met God. That's how I see it, you know, with grace, and I acknowledge it with gratitude. So my grief runs turned into gratitude at that point. Doesn't mean I'm not sad. Doesn't mean I'm happy he's dead. Don't get me wrong. I'm sad, but I have peace over it. That's it, okay? So, you know, just for today, it tells us, just for today, I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. That's my luck, quote unquote, whatever that is. You know, here we talk also about the higher good, the seemingly bad being for the best. My son, as far as I know, the peace, serenity. Okay? That kind of stuff, okay? So anyway, I want to tell you about my practice. I think I'm running out of time. My daily practice. Okay. And also, just for today, it says I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. And during this half hour, I will get a better perspective of my life, isn't it? So that's it. That's all it means, meditation. Okay. So here are the tools. Depending on the circumstances that I use, doesn't mean I'm doing it perfectly. But I'm doing my best. I'm one of those people you run into who take Al-Anon as it's a priority for me. When I retired and wanted to move to Paris, before I came to Paris, I had to come and investigate, make sure there is Al-Anon. I don't care how much you say, oh, Paris, lovely, this and that. If there ain't no Al-Anon, I ain't going. I'm moving. So I made sure there were good English-speaking Al-Anon meetings then, because I couldn't really understand French then. Anyway, so in the morning, my morning meditation is when I wake up. You know, once I wake up, I do some prayers. Somehow I learned in my faith community growing up. I had a faith community growing up, and some of them are Al-Anon prayers. You know, and I do that in the dark while I'm lying down, and then I end up with meditation. My meditation practice is simple. I could lie down. Don't worry about the posture or any of those who put your spine up. Be like they do Buddha, don't do that. If it works for you, fine. It's not for me. It's just about silence. And I do what they call conscious breathing. It's like from my tummy. And you know, if you don't mind, I'll tell you, I have a mantra there that I like, Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh. I keep doing that. I set, you know, that's how I do that. Usually 20 minutes. I don't like to pick up my phone before I do all that, but sometimes I need to. I just get it and I put it 20 minutes and I'm doing it. Once it tells me I stop. But I don't have to do that way. Okay, that's what I do in the morning. During the day, depending on the circumstance. You know, like if I'm in an Al-Anon meeting, Yeah, I used to not be able to sit still at an Al-Anon meeting when they say, okay, look, 1 minute of meditation. I'm like, goodness. Oh! I can do that. Okay, so I'll do that. You know, so what I'm learning, you know, doing that. That's what I do, okay? Sit quiet. It helps me. What about in the face of bad behavior? Someone says something, you don't like something unkind. Go that page 7, right? Go that January 7, page 7. Just keep my mouth shut. Try to keep my mouth shut. That's what I try. Bless them, change me. Bless them, change me. I try that. Doesn't mean I do it all the time. If I'm hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, forget it. But for the most part, you know, that's what it is. You know, for the most part, that's what it is. And then, if you live in France, you go to the bakery, you'll know that doesn't matter how long the line is, the baker can be chatting with that person, the customer, and doesn't care, and keep talking about the whatever they want to talk about. That's it. When I arrived in Paris, I'm like, excuse me, excusez-moi. What's the matter? Okay? French people do not share their sidewalk. I've learned to just pass by, leave them alone. It's hard, but I'm learning, I'm doing it, actually. You know, take that conscious breath, relax your shoulder, relax your tummy, relax your buttocks, breathe and release. They call it the R&R. Relax, breathe, release. Okay, so that's what I try to do. And there's something they call the low-hanging fruits. Have you ever been mad at the weather? It's raining. Oh, it's too hot. Oh. Okay, the idea of being in the now is accepting what is, isn't it? I'm learning that. So sometimes people say, oh, it's raining. And I'm like, it's okay. And things, so they think I'm goody two shoes or something like that. But no, I just Al-Anon. And if you did the calculation, you probably figured I've been in Al-Anon 33 and something years, right? Consistently. Doesn't mean longevity is not synonymous with recovery. But, you know, if you're applying the, they say, information without application, no transformation. But if you apply it, then, you know, I try to do that. Because I remember I tried everything. Shopping, babies, sex, everything didn't work. So I got here, and that's the last thing. So I'm taking it serious. It's one reason I came here. Granau, who knows that place exists in the world? So you come to Granau, why not? Okay. So what, you know, what I call about the mad midnight moments, where I suddenly wake up in the night, I realize, oh my God, my son's death is irretrievable loss. The emptiness, the hole. Thanksgiving, oh, empty chair. Christmas, that card, Mother's Day card that you'll never get anymore. Approaching birthday, you know, things like that. And then death, the anniversary of his death, which my sponsor told me, we live through that. We celebrate his birthday, but we live through that. Don't make it a big thing. Easy to say, but I try, okay? So during Zoom meetings, you know, I don't know about you, especially Zoom, you know, you want to do this, you want to do that, you want to like do that, drink and get food, or even do exercise, whatever, look at your food. I'm trying not to do that. I haven't succeeded, but I'm getting there. Just try it. It's being present. Because sometimes, you know, somebody has said something when I'm doing something else. I'm like, and then people are like, what did they say? Oh, my God, what was it she said that I missed? So listen and learn is what is a slogan that comes to mind anyway for me. Okay? Sometimes, who was that telling me about curiosity? You know, in the Zoom window, I want to see, oh, look at her background. Let me pin her. I pin her. To, you know, focus it to see, whoa. If that has degree, is that is she a doctor or what? I don't know. If you don't do that, fine. But I do sometimes. So I learn to, like, be still. Leave it alone. You know what I mean? There's some people who share, oh, I'm in the helping profession and stuff. And then you look behind, you see a certificate. So, like, they don't want to tell you they're a doctor. Let's see, are they doctors? As if it makes a difference. This is a fellowship of equals, isn't it? Just another seeker among seekers. We're all equals. But, you know, I feel like, oh, if I know she's a doctor, then I probably respect her more. I don't know. Anyway, so I try not to do that. And then during in-person meetings, try this and see how present you can be. The door opens now. Are you going to look back to see who came in? My sponsor taught me that. When they come late, don't turn your neck. Took a while. Things like that. Okay, that's all actually. Okay, so, and I use mantras, you know, You know, my husband was just ill. I thought he would die. You know, oh my God, I just use mantras to stay in the moment. And suddenly, he was sick and then went to the hospital and they had to open his stomach. And I had to go home and, you know, oh my God. And then I'm like, that's not Al-Anon. What's the relevant Al-Anon mantra? Remove my fear, replace with faith. That's a mantra, Al-Anon mantra. Remove my fear, replace with faith, remove my fear. Keep saying it. Then I fall asleep, wake up, he's still alive, I heard. So in the night, what my practice is, you know, before I retire at night, I hope everybody has that. You know, I start with step 10, write in my journal, review my day, do I need to make an amends, especially, usually to my family members. What is this about family members? You know, I can practice Al-Anon while here, but they say if you want to know how well you're working this program, go home to your family of origin. Stay there for a week, even for a day. Come back and tell us. If you're being honest, come back and tell us, you know. Okay. So, you know, I do that in my, you know, write, and then I thank, you know, end with always, if you look at my diary, my journal, thank the gratitude prayer. I hope everybody knows it. Thank God for everything given. Thank God for everything taken away. Thank God for what is left. So, I do that, and then meditation. Lie down, turn the light off, lie down flat, and begin to do what? To chant again. All that. And I keep saying that, And then I fall asleep, or not. Something doesn't always work. I don't always fall asleep. So, you know, what do? I begin another chant. What do I do with that chant? It's like the serenity prayer, nothing else. But not, I don't say it all. It's like, grant me the serenity, grant me the serenity, grant me the serenity. Some people say the whole serenity prayer, but I don't. And sometimes it doesn't work. I turn on the light. Well, then let's read. And not necessarily Al-Anon books, because I have a life besides Al-Anon. Okay, so that's really all I wanted to share about staying in the moment, you know. That's all I really want to share. And I was telling you, I think I forgot to tell you the mad midnight moments when I, you know, my son and all those things. What I do is just grant me serenity, grant me serenity, grant me serenity. And then I say, be still, be still. And now, you know, deep breath again. And the moment passes, or not. May not pass. So you deal with it, but that's how I kind of deal with that. In other words, I don't stay in that place anymore for long. Thanks to Alan. Okay, so from recovery, from survival to recovery, tells us, right? He says, if we diligently, I think I told you that already. If we diligently surrender to the discipline of these steps, what did he say will happen? Our lives will be transformed. That's it. So I've told you all this, assuming you've never heard of how to stay in the now, but assuming you haven't, now I'm giving it to you. So what you're going to do, because information without application is what? Leads to no transformation. Says if we practice it, it happens. So people say, yeah, work it if you work, or whatever. It works if you work it, something like that. So that's how I see it, you know. Now, with the tools of the program, you know, I think meditation, mantras, and conscious breathing. I can tell you, you know, before I said I used to live in the corner of what? Worry Street, da-da-da, Fear Street. Today, I think I live in the corner, in the corner of right here and now. Not all the time. Not all the time. I do have slips, you know. But it says here also, we will have a program. I will have a program. I may not follow it completely or something. What is it? Just for today, I'll have a program. I may not follow it to the letter, but I will have it. And that's what it is for me. Okay? So that's really all I have to say to you. Okay? There is only one criterion I know to know if I'm in the moment. The level, you know, of peace I have. If I'm anxious and always, then I'm, you know, I have to remember. There are tools. I call people. I have a lot of friends. If you look at my iPhone, probably have over 100 Al-Anon numbers. So I'd like to have your number. But that's it. Anyway, thank you.